we're looking at a Thanksgiving theme as we think of the rescued, the redeemed. Let the rescued give thanks. That's the theme of Psalm 107. And to paint the picture, there's four pictures vividly described in Psalm 107 of desperate situations and what the people in desperate situations did and how they found the Lord gracious to answer. So in verses 4 to 9, we'll look at these pictures one after one and then refer to them a little later more in depth. The lost in the desert, a vivid picture, verses 4 to 9. A wanderer, a person unsettled. Maybe you feel that way in your life. Where am I going? What career should I take? Will I ever get married? Where should I live in the future? Should I stay in Toronto? Maybe you can identify with this wanderer that's lost in the desert, and maybe spiritually. You don't know, why am I here? Can I know this creator of the universe? What does Jesus mean to me this morning? Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. The next picture is of someone who, through rebellion, is in prison, verses 10 to 16. Some of us go to Toronto South Detention Center and minister from time to time. Vera Archer does it every week. But maybe you're not at Toronto, well, obviously you're not at Toronto South Detention Center this morning, you wouldn't be here, but maybe you feel chained. I did a number of phone calls yesterday. I had some good conversations, and I had the privilege of praying with someone that was really struggling with some bondage and feeling that he was chained. And I'm glad to report, I won't mention the person's name, but I believe there was a breakthrough yesterday as I talked to that individual. But maybe you feel chained to some kind of addiction or relationship that's wrong. As a Christian, you know you need to get out of a situation, or you feel there's some kind of addiction or habit that you need to break. Well, maybe you can identify with the rebellious as they're described, as Noel read the scripture this morning from 10, verses 10 to 16, of a rebellious person in chains. Then in verses 17 to 22, also which Noel read, you have a picture of someone who, because of rebellion, is sick, loathing all food, and in a desperate condition. Now, not all sickness is a result of specific sin. Sickness is because of sin in general, after the fall of Adam. But this person described in verse 17 to 22, through their rebellion, has become very sick and diseased because of the sinful habits. The Bible describes us in our spiritual condition before we know the grace of God. In the words of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores. So that too is a picture of a person in need of God's grace. Jesus said, I've not come to save the healthy, but the sick. The well don't need a doctor. I'm the physician who can heal the sick. And so Jesus uses these illustrations, and all four of these illustrations describe our spiritual condition. We're lost, we're chained, we're sick, and we need a helper. And then in verses 23 to 32, we have someone that's not a rebel. They're merchants on the ships, and they're busy. And maybe you can identify with a family that I talked to a few months ago. The woman and her kids came for a while. And then, actually, there were a couple families that I followed up a few months ago, and they suddenly disappeared and stopped coming. So I visited both of them, and I asked both the mothers this question, one after another, one day. I said to them, did we do anything wrong to offend you? And both answers were, well, no, we're just so busy, We try to fit this and that in with the kids, and we got this going on and this going on. We just don't have time to come to church at all in our schedule. So maybe you know people that are like that. Maybe you feel you yourself are like that at times. But then in this picture, there's a great storm that comes up, and the ship is in danger of shipwreck. And then they too respond out of desperation. Oh, they weren't rebels. They weren't lost. They were just busy, merchants on the ships, but all of a sudden a storm came up, and then they cried out. So here's something repeated four times. Actually, there's a number of phrases repeated four times in Psalm 107. What do these four situations all have in common? Well, it's this word. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Then they cried out to the Lord in their distress. Verses 6, 13, 19, and 28. And that's where we need to begin. This person yesterday on the phone, he had so many excuses over the recent months, but finally I said, tell me what's really going on. And we talked and talked, and we ended up on the phone, he's crying out to the Lord. And that's where the Lord wants each of us, to be crying out to the Lord. Lord, turn me back to you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, heal me. Lord, help me. I've sinned against you. And the Lord is able to heal the backslider and love him freely. The Lord is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God in the name of Jesus. Are you lost this morning? Are you sin sick? Are you desperate? Are you in danger of shipwreck? Are you chained by sin? Cry out to the Lord. Lord, set me free. Lord, heal me. Oh, shepherd, find me. I'm lost. And the Lord hears the cry of the desperate. And in those same verses, 6, 13, 19, and 28, we have this phrase repeated four times. And he saved them from their distress. The Lord is gracious and merciful, and he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved not from a shipwreck or from an illness on bed, but are you saved eternally by the grace of God? Saved, saved, saved. God is not willing that you should perish, but that you might come to repentance. Call on him today and be saved by the grace of God. And then another phrase that's repeated four times is this. It's in verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. I remember a former pastor I had in my late teens. This particular verse in the King James Version spoke to his heart before he went into ministry. Now, we don't necessarily expect every one of us is going to go into full-time pastoral positions or full-time missionary service overseas, but it spoke to his heart, and it led him into becoming a full-time pastor for a number of decades. And he heard this word, I think it was in a sermon. I can't remember whether he heard it on the radio in a sermon or in a church. But he heard this word from Psalm 107 one morning. It's in the King James Version. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful kindness and his wonderful deeds for the children of men. And he heard that repeated over and over from this psalm. And he desired in his heart that as he worked in a mine in Timmins, Ontario, Bob Lively, he felt God's call to
to preach the gospel. Well, we can all preach the gospel in different ways. Actually, this is one of the points of the psalm. Notice verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Verse 22. Let them tell of his works with songs of joy. And we're all who are Christians, we all have a story to tell. We have a story to tell to the nations of God's great love and mercy. Do you have a testimony? Do you have a story this morning that God has saved you? That as a sinner, God has brought conviction to your heart and brought repentance and faith in Christ to your soul. You've called upon him to save you, and he's changed you and is changing you. You have a story. Let the redeemed tell their story. Wish we had more time to one by one listen to everybody's story. Marie Kuhn is going to become she's become a member as of Tuesday night, but she told her story from the baptismal tank a number of months ago. An amazing story. If you haven't heard of it, we can send you an email of her story. But every person who is a Christian has a dramatic story of God's grace. You might have been growing up in a Christian home and didn't ever go to prison, but you have a powerful story because of what the Lord has done in your life by his grace. And so let's tell our story, but let's give thanks to the Lord, not just on Thanksgiving Sunday, a telling of his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, but let's tell it every day. So by review, how does this apply to us? Notice verse 33 of Psalm 107. He turned rivers into a desert. Is that your situation this morning? He's turned your situation from good to bad. Maybe, I'm not saying necessarily, but maybe the Lord is speaking to you this morning that you need to repent and turn back to the Lord. He's caused trouble. He's caused storms, possibly, not saying definitely, but maybe he's caused these storms to move you out of your complacency or busyness and say, Lord, I need you. I need to prioritize you more and not just be caught up with the things of this world. Has he turned your rivers into desert? Notice verse 35, though. He turned this desert into pools of water. Maybe your situation was desperate, and physically speaking, things are going well. You've got a job now. Maybe you have a life partner or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or you got money in the bank now, and maybe there's a tendency to become lackadaisical and indifferent and forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord in your prosperity when he turns your desert into springs of water, but may we thank the Lord for his goodness every day. May we thank Jesus every day for his love and mercy for saving us. So by way of review, as we apply this to our lives, let us cry to the Lord in our need, in our trouble. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Let us tell our story of God at work in our lives. I'm a redeemed person, Lord. I'm going to tell my story to the nations. I want to tell of your works, Lord, with songs of joy. And then fourthly, let us exalt and praise the Lord. Verse 32. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Jesus talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, as she tries to change the topic of conversation about where to worship. You Jewish people worship in Jerusalem. We Samaritans worship in Samaria. She tries to get Jesus off topic. Jesus says, believe me, woman, a time is coming and now has come where true worshipers, won't matter where, but God wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. For those are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Whether you're in Toronto South Detention Center or in a bed of sickness, or whether you're in Kalamazoo or Timbuktu, it doesn't matter. You need to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks those who worship Him. I commend you this morning for making this choice to come this morning to worship the Lord on Thanksgiving Sunday and to prioritize worship in your life, because the Father seeks true worshipers. He delights in our worship because it's all about Him. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. He's seeking you this morning to not let it all be about me, myself, and I, but to Him be glory and praise and honor forever. He's seeking you to be a worshiper. Are you a worshiper this morning? Do you worship Him in spirit and in truth? Do you seek Him first and His righteousness? And then, fifthly, let us ponder the Lord's loving deeds. Verses 43. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Do you ponder the loving deeds of the Lord? Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the mercy and measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. How could I forget His mercy? How could I forget His love? He satisfies, He satisfies, He satisfies my desires. And the chorus goes on to say, think about His love. Think about His mercy. Think about His grace that's brought us through. Do you have a story to tell? Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Tell it to your children and grandchildren. Tell it to your neighbors. Tell it to all. Tell it to the world of God's grace in your life. Our mission as a church, thinking of this picture of the storm and the shipwreck, is to be a lighthouse for Jesus. And our mission statement and vision says, as Long Branch Baptist Church strives to be a lighthouse church that shines the powerful light of the gospel of Jesus in Toronto, GTA, and the world, as a lighthouse gives both light and warning to ships on a dark and dangerous sea, Long Branch is committed to shining the gospel of grace through the vehicles of worship and prayer, teaching and fellowship, evangelism and discipleship, and works of love, mercy, and justice. Are we part of that? When people are desperate, yes, they cry out to the Lord, but perhaps as the Lord is answering their prayer, He sends me and He sends you to be a lighthouse, so that when it's all said and done, the person will be singing one day, I thank God for the lighthouse. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? So maybe we shine Jesus. People will see Jesus in us, be drawn, yes, not to us, but to Jesus for the glory of God. And we pray that it might be so. I think of that hymn, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. The stormy waves of the sea obey Jesus. When He cried out on the storm, when the disciples thought they were going to perish, and they said, Master, we perish. Jesus says to the sea of Galilee, be muzzled, be still, and there was peace. Maybe you're troubled this morning, you're fretting, you're worried. May this be your song, the song of the chorus by Don Francisco. Speak peace to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak peace to my heart today. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be. Be saved today. Before we transition into the Lord's table while the worship team comes back, let's just pray this. Lord, if there be anyone here this morning who is not saved, may this be not only Thanksgiving Sunday, but a day to give thanks to You, because as the angels of God rejoice over one sinner that repents, may there be repentance today, even in this auditorium, repentance from sin and faith in Christ. We pray that not only here, but wherever Your word is proclaimed,
in every church around the world today, on radio, on TV, over the internet, that lives might not just think about themselves and turkey dinner or whatever, but to think of you, to think of your grace and love, and say, Lord, I respond to your grace. I am a needy sinner. I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again. And I come to you, Lord, as a sinner. And you say, Lord, I will not cast out the sinner who comes to me. And I come to you just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you invite me to come to you, O Lord. O Lamb of God, Lord Jesus, I come to you. May this be the prayer of a heart even this morning. Lord, I admit my guilt and sin. I believe that Jesus died for me. I confess with my mouth Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life, Lord, and be my master, and speak peace to my heart today. Thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Jesus calls people that confess him privately to confess him publicly. Tell someone. Tell the wondrous story of God's love, and then make plans to be baptized in the future to testify of your position in Christ.